on demand.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud. Welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge. The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
You're in the Recruiter's Lounge today with Jim Stroud and my very special guest, Krista Bradford. How are you, Krista?
I'm doing well, thank you.
For people who don't know you, let me tell you, Krista is the cat's meow. She has a very interesting background, and I'm so glad she's on the show today. And before I get into my million questions that I want to throw at her, Krista, if you would, introduce yourself to the audience and let us know a little bit about your background and how you transitioned from investigative reporting into what you're doing now.
Oh, okay. I worked as an investigative reporter and television journalist from about the age of 18, actually, until I was 40. And essentially, during that time, I developed a pretty hardcore investigative skills. I am a long-term, a long-time member of the Investigative Reporters and Editors Association, and that's an amazing group of people that was originally founded to investigate the murder of a investigative reporter, and then they expanded to teach investigative skills to reporters that belong to that group. And I think that's where I learned the bulk of my investigative prowess. I've won a number of journalistic awards. I've gotten a wrongfully convicted kid out of prison. I put a real bad guy into prison. I've done stories that have affected legislation. And so really, I had a very good run. In 1997, I decided that TV news had gotten a bit too tawdry for my taste, a little too cheesy.
You mean like Jerry Springer or Geraldo, things like that?
Well, yeah, and but also the landscape had changed. I had gotten involved in news just, obviously when I was very young, post-Watergate, when investigative reporting was flying high. And subsequently, at least with television news, it's no longer the three networks and the evening newscast. Everything's been fragmented, and you've got those news organizations scrambling for revenue, and when they do that, they sort of lose their way and forget to prioritize, telling people the news they need to know. Instead, they try to anticipate, deciding in advance what sorts of stories people might want to know, and the whole thing got rather skewed. So
they started shaping the news instead of reporting it, is what you mean?
Yeah, well, just, doing a lot of features, doing a lot of what I would consider to be unnecessary or unimportant stories, the latest fire, the latest, accident, and not really telling people more about what's happening with their government and the stuff that actually has a more profound effect on everybody's life. And those stories can be told compellingly, but I really realized that that was not an argument I was going to win.
And so
I decided to leave, and I had no idea what I was going to do. And ultimately, a woman who became the wife of my husband's business partner asked me if I wanted to do some freelance work. And I was delighted to find out that this was work I could do from the privacy of my home, and I was a young mother at the time, and also that my investigative skills translated rather neatly, and as a matter of fact, it was a lot easier to reach out to people and offer them jobs than to, call them and inform them that I was investigating.
Go figure.
or to tell them, or to try to convince somebody to risk their lives or their livelihoods to, you know, to tell me a certain story. So, yeah, it was, and there was definitely a learning curve. I suddenly had to learn about the business world, which I'd covered, but I hadn't really participated in any serious way.
Sure.
And so there were some things I had to learn, but I found that my skill set coming out of this different field really gave me an advantage over researchers who came up through recruiting.
Okay.
And that's really our secret sauce, is that, you know, we have a very hardcore investigative focus. And additionally, I had always, and I should add, I'd always been a kind of a long-term geek, dating back into the early 80s, and I attended the nation's first computer-assisted research conference circa 1991, I think it was.
Wow.
And, you know, I was surfing the Internet actually before there were browsers. I, you know, was accessing BBSs and so forth to do my work. And then subsequently learned about how to do investigations that leveraged data. And so, you know, I've come up with up and through the Internet craze, and I've grown with it. And so I'm very fluent in all of that computery stuff as well. And so that's something we definitely bring to the table.
Sure. Now, you started a firm, Bradford Research, that does recruitment research, competitive intelligence, online sourcing, and a few other services, if I remember correctly.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Since you had a strong background in investigation from your reporting days and so forth, would you recommend that as a maybe a new standard for online sourcers who may want to get into what you're doing? Like, is that really the better school? Like, I know, like, some sourcers, is what we call them, people who go online and find passive candidates for particular jobs, they may take certain certification courses that are pretty popular right now online, and they sort of get the broad strokes, I think, of how to leverage the Internet to find data. But whereas from your background, you have a strong investigative background, would you say that would be the more preferred method to finding people online? Take a few courses in investigative journalism and then go into recruiting?
I definitely think that taking a few courses in investigative journalism or other kinds of elicitation, you know, so I guess detective work and learning how to draw people out, I think that would definitely be helpful. And also what being a good reporter is about is kind of understanding that whenever, for instance, here's an example, whenever people come in contact, say, with the government, a record is generated. It's just the way things work.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a good reporter or being a good citizen to access the information, because we do believe in freedom of information in this country, at least I'd like to think so,
sure.
That, you know, it's about knowing where to look. And it's about knowing that when you're shut down, reaching out in one particular way and trying to get information from one particular source, there are many, many ways to go, other ways to get that information. Of course, all of this can be extremely time-consuming, which has to be kept in mind. It can be very challenging to, on one hand, to balance doing some serious investigative work with also trying to deliver it in a timely fashion and not kind of go off down, you know, go off on tangents.
Okay. What is a typical request your firm may receive? I imagine a company may want an org chart from a competitor or they may want just maverick sourcing done for a particular position. What's the type of general stuff you usually work on?
A typical request is simply to help a client identify the best people out there.
Okay.
And usually they come to us because a search has failed or a search is kind of suffering from neglect. And in most cases, those organizations have not really had the time or resources to reach out after passive candidates. And so really that's our area of expertise. We help them first set a strategy regarding where pockets of talent may be residing and places where, you know, they hadn't necessarily thought of. We go then and gather information about those people, and then we're very good at engaging those people to get them interested in the opportunity. So essentially we do you start to finish recruiting, and organizations outsource that to us, either as retained search or, you know, as contained search, where it's a combined research and placement fee.
How do you manage all the data once you get it all together? I mean, do you use any special service or program?
You know, I originally kept it all in a database called Goldmine.
Okay.
And the primary reason I got that database is I knew that my database would be getting very large, and that sits atop a database called SQL, and so it could scale.
Okay.
The drawback for that was I was having my WorkerBee researchers log in through terminal services. I mean, this gets technical. And should I experience any outages, should a server die, I mean, it would just really, even if I had backups, it would take me days to recover because you still have to reinstall everything.
Sure.
So after I went through enough of those hair-raising experiences, we decided to migrate to an ASP solution, and we currently use MaxHire.
Okay.
And we're very pleased with that interface, and everybody kind of logs in from wherever they are, and we collaborate basically using this online application.
When you're outsourcing, where do you generally get your better leads from? Is it generally from secondary research or primary research that you get the most significant data?
The most significant data always comes from primary sources.
Okay. Calling and actually talking to people is what you mean.
Yeah. It's the freshest. And by having live conversations, you can quickly get a sense of the lay of the land and where, you know, attractive companies to recruit out of might be because of changes, you know, in, you know, disappointing earnings reports that may have thrown everybody into a tizzy, and so suddenly, you know, there is a morale problem in a company, making it easier for recruiters to reach into those organizations and to pull people out. So I find that gathering real-time intelligence is the best way to do that. But I generally do my homework before making those calls.
Okay.
So I will kind of survey a sector, the players, and pull together some people to contact and basically cram on an area, you know, where our, you know, on the area or specialty that a search is centered in prior to reaching out to people. Because I think it's critical to sound informed.
Sure, sure, definitely. Well, one last question for you. Now, I know there's some listening who look at sourcers sort of from, a skewed viewpoint. I know that some people look at sourcers as something that you can do prior to becoming a real recruiter, quote unquote. but there are some that are better informed who know that you can make a very strong career path in the area of sourcing. What is your take on that?
It's interesting. It's almost like the argument, you know, are bloggers real reporters? you know, what made me decide to start my business is I went, actually after I did that freelance that I mentioned that got me started, I actually went to a major search firm basically to work for a couple of months doing research for them. And when I saw how they did research, which was really, in my mind, lightweight, And when I saw this great divide between research and recruiting, and that basically the recruiters were salespeople primarily, and they would handle the clients, and they would, you know, do the dog and pony shows.
Sure.
And ultimately, in my mind, they kind of would misrepresent that they would, you know, managing the search from dusk to dawn, and instead they would just come and hand it off to some kid right out of college who didn't know a thing.
Yeah, I've seen that firsthand. It sort of boggles my mind, too.
And so I just thought that was a joke. So
right.
The way I think you truly serve your clients is to make recruitment research-centric. So in my mind, there is no divide. And if a recruiter doesn't embrace hardcore research, then they're not fully informed. Now, there are different skill sets. Sometimes, as you know, there are people who excel in all the internet stuff,
mm-hmm.
but don't have the communication skills to get on the phone and draw people out.
Sure.
Or they could be terribly introverted, but they could be wonderful researchers online. So I've also found it's hard to find somebody who's capable of doing it all. It's hard to find somebody who's both gregarious and enjoys talking to people, but also is into that granular, mind-numbing detail that researchers thrive on.
Right.
I do find it, but it's hard to come by.
Sure. Well, Krista Bradford, superhero in your own right, I appreciate your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
You make me blush.
Oh, before I go, let me do this. Let me plug your company. If someone wanted to get some more contact information and speak to you a bit more thoroughly about you or about your business, how can they get in contact with you?
They can visit our website at www.bradfordresearch.com, and you'll find us with all the contact information.
Krista Bradford, up, up, and away. Thanks again for being in the Recruiter's Lounge.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.
Radio, radio, radio talent.
Innovative audio on demand.